His presence, and I trust we've come tonight ready to receive, ready for what God has for us, opening our hearts, because that's what he wants of us. Praise his name. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, again tonight you have presented yet further an opportunity for each of us to receive your word. For Father, when we receive your word, we are receiving life. We're receiving you, Lord. And your word has come to make us whole in mind, body, and spirit, and to guide us and to lead us in these last days. And Father, I thank you for our fellowship. I thank you for this room where we can come together. I thank you above all that we come under the banner of the blood of Jesus. And it is that we apply tonight and over the room and all who come in. And we believe, Father, your word goes forth with free course. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to share a message with you tonight. I believe it's some of the basics we're going, but we do need to remind ourselves from whence we're hewn and where we've come from and where we're going to, and above all to look at what Jesus has done and the provision that is found in Christ. And we need constantly to remind ourselves of these blessings and to look at them and to see just exactly what God is doing in these last days. And I'm calling our teaching this evening, Have You Surrendered Your Ownership? Have you surrendered your ownership? In other words, have you surrendered yourself? And we know what that means when we look at Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, that we present ourselves as that living sacrifice. It's on the altar, and it's on the altar where we worship God. That's where we come to meet with the Lord, as ancient Israel did through sacrifice. So we do likewise, and that's what we're doing tonight as we have consecrated this time before the Lord, coming as his people, a royal priesthood, coming, and always it is in the nature of sacrifice, in the nature of giving up. And that's what God looks for. Are we willing to give up, to surrender? And of course, the greatest thing we surrender is that independent self-life, me, which I put on that altar. And so the grace and mercy of God then can begin to do that deeper work of change and deliverance, of course, which he's doing with each one of us. So that's what I'm calling this tonight. Have you surrendered your ownership, yourself? And when we mean by this, what we mean by this, when surrender yourself, everything in that surrendering is going to be your mind, your thinking, your going out, your coming in. Everything is a living sacrifice accepted before Almighty God. And only God, of course, can do that. It can never be achieved in one's efforts, one's work. We'll soon completely fall on our faces, which sadly religious people do. But God is able and capable of doing this work in and through us. And of course, it's a circumcision. It's a change of heart from stone to flesh. It's our minds being changed, renewed, worked on each day. And I think we can confidently say that when we look back, say, over the last 3 years, 5 years, we, each of us and all of us, know and have a testimony of how God has changed us yet more and more in his likeness. And yet, you know, the irony of all of this is that as we're being changed, and we know we're being changed and worked on and we're coming forth, Yet, if you try to look at this naturally, you try and work this out in the flesh, intellectually, if anything, it looks as though we've gone back instead of going forward. So even the way we look at things or try to analyze things spiritually, how God has worked and is working, we're going to get it wrong. We won't understand because what God is doing is way, 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 way above us. It's way, way above our thinking, our understanding, our trying to work things out. We've got to come to a place, brothers and sisters, where we quit doing this. Because the enemy just has a go. And he'll keep us down. He'll keep us in bondage. He'll keep us inwardly looking to ourselves. And then, of course, when we do that, it's all hopeless. It's no good. It'll never happen. So we've just got to trust in our Heavenly Father who loves us and who set his love upon us first, ever before we loved him. We've just got to settle the fact that he's not made this mistake. He's working and he's going to bring us through. As we so confidently say in his word, he who hath begun a work in me will complete and finish it. And he's doing that. And you say to me, oh, I'm not sure. I don't know whether he's going to complete and finish it. Well, if you're not sure, then why are you here tonight? Why are you in this room? Why are you listening to somebody like me? These are all signs that God is going to complete and finish that work which he has started. Because we all know, brothers and sisters, we wouldn't be in this room tonight. We'd just be off doing our own thing like the world is otherwise. So let's encourage ourselves. Let's draw from these things that we see taking place each day. Each day when I wake up and I find my voice expressing my gratitude and praise and thanks to Jesus, that tells me something. All the while I'm thinking about him, all the while I want to talk to him, that is telling me something, and it is telling you something. Now let's take great comfort from all of that. Whatever we're going through, whatever the trials, whatever, however we feel, we take great comfort from that. The fact that I'm still praying, I still seek God, I still have a desire to open his word and read his word, I have a desire to come into these meetings, to listen to the word of God, to come into fellowship. This is all God's mighty hand at work in each of us. Now let's draw comfort from that. And let's turn that back to him in praise and thanks and so on, of which of course he loves, because he inhabits the praises of his people, which he says. So, have you surrendered your ownership, yourself? Well, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20. And I want us to look at verse 28. And here, the Apostle Paul is encouraging the saints, and he's exhorting the elders who are at Ephesus. And here we take it up in verse 28 of chapter 20 of the book of Acts, of which it says here, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." So we are his possession. And God never makes a mistake with his own possession. His own jewels, his redeemed, his seed that he's redeemed through Calvary. He never makes a mistake. We are his possession. And we take that purely by faith. Because every one of us, if we humbly walking before God, every one of us would have to put our hands up and say, well, as far as I'm concerned, God's made a mistake. But he is God. and he never makes a mistake. So that is the whole point. He has purchased us through his blood. He has purchased Full Gospel Assembly and other assemblies who are walking, going deeper with God. He has purchased those people, those saints, by his blood. So having done that, we then can look also at another scripture we know very well in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 to 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 19 to 20. 19 to 20, of which he says here, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that reassuring? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You have lost ownership. That's what he's meaning. You aren't your own anymore. You are not working out your future. You are not planning and scheming the rest of your life, how you're going to live, what you're going to do. I've come to purchase and to bring you back, to bring you back home, where you belong. We're all, in a sense, like prodigal sons who've gone astray but have come back. So we need to learn pretty quickly that you surrender your ownership. You are not your own anymore. You have been purchased and bought with a price. Therefore, we need to be very much on our guard with regard to when we talk about ourselves. We need to be very careful what we say, because if we are negative about ourselves, we're doing him a great disrespect. And this is why, of course, when God called Moses, and Moses started to say, "I can't talk. I'm no good. He was making all these excuses. We need to be on our guard that we never make these excuses. Whatever promises we're seeing in the Word of God, and what gifts that God has set in the church, these gifts that are for us, we mustn't make excuses. We simply believe and trust God that he doesn't make a mistake. And so if God blesses you with a ministry and a gift, then God has not made a mistake. And the reason he's not made a mistake is because he's purchased you and I. We have now become his possession. We're no longer ourselves anymore. We are his ownership. And he will do what he wants in and through each one of us. And so here we are, set in the body of Christ as a gift by through the Holy Spirit. Therefore he uses us for his glory. And God never makes a mistake when he calls you to do a work for him or whatever he wants you to do. And God is trying to get our attention that using excuses, the fact that, well, I don't have the personality, or I don't have the eloquence, or I don't have the intellect, or I don't have, or whatever it would be, he's not going to listen to this. And he's trying to tell us that we mustn't use these things or say these things before Almighty Sovereign God. Because we could find ourselves being put to one side. and not being used of God. And then we find ourselves, well, why is it others seem to be used and others, you know, are producing the fruit and God's working through them? Why is it nothing seems to happen with me? It may well be because that's what you've done. You've sinned with your lips. When and if God calls you and he requires something of you, he has not made a mistake. He sees differently how we see, and he acts differently to how we act. And there is nothing pious or anything that glorifies God when we use such words as, well, you know, I don't know what God saw in me. You know, I'm just a sinner. I'm weak and everything. I don't understand why he's done this, why he's called me, and so on. It doesn't make any sense. I don't think I can do this because I'm not a good enough person. I'm not a good enough saint. That's completely contrary to God's calling on your life and my life. Are we confessing God's a failure? And we do it, brothers and sisters. And not only do we do it, but we try to make it all religious and pious. We try to sort of somehow glorify God. Oh, this is my weakness. Well, of course we're weak. There's nothing new in that. Every one of us is weak. But God says, in that weakness, I make you strong. And that strength only will ever come when we learn that we no longer own or are in charge of our own lives. We surrender. Of course, we call it the cross. That's what it's about. And so, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19-20, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Well, we've got to just take that by faith, brothers and sisters, and believe that God will work with the flesh to conform the flesh to his will and his standard, because it doesn't lie in us. But it's as we believe, as we surrender, and we don't fight him, so he will work that. So he says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God. And you are not your own. And there's the key to it. The first part of it, almost you think, well, this is going to be impossible. There's no way I can walk like this. There's no way I can bring my body, my flesh in that sense, for God's glory, for his presence. But he says that, but here is the key to it. And you are not your own. So he goes on, and you are not your own. So yes, he said something tremendously challenging in the first part of it. The Holy Spirit who is in me, my body is the temple now of the Holy Spirit, a type of Holy of the Holies under the old covenant, the tabernacle. I mean, all of this is mind-boggling. That God is now tabernacling with man, communing, fellowshipping with man. And he says with this, and you are not your own. And he doesn't stop there. The reason being is, for you were bought at a price. Christ paid for you. The Father gave of his best to pay and bring you back. And the purchase was through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why it can be done. And it will be done. For God has decreed that it will be done in Jesus' name. What for? What is this all about? Why has he done this? Here it is. For the glory of God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All about his glory. And where does he end with that? He says, they are now God. He's purchased it. He has paid the price. He has bought it. And he's going to get his money's worth. That is what it means. God has bought the best. He buys the very best. He has paid the price. He has not bartered for this. He's not looked for a bargain. None of these things like we do. He has bought the best, which are God's. Period. Finish. Now, either you believe that or you don't. Because if you believe that, our lives are going to change dramatically in every way and form. You see, God has to buy us because Satan wasn't going to give us away. Because Satan, at the moment, is the god of this world and blinds the eyes of many. But God purchased us. He purchased us, and this is where we get the idea, because Satan wasn't going to give us away. As far as he's concerned, we're not for sale. But God is God. He is sovereign. And whatever he buys, Satan has to hand it over. And the reason you were handed over, because the blood of Jesus commanded it. That's why. That's the purchase. His blood upon the cross. And so God has purchased this, isn't it? From the foundation of the world through Jesus. So how do you know then you have been brought? How do you know you have been brought? Well, let's give you some encouragements, and I've already said it. Well, we know we've been brought, because here we are tonight, in this room, listening to the Word of God. So there's our first comfort. Here I am, amongst the saints, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm with them, so that is a clear sign I have been brought. Another clear sign is that I've not only received the new birth, but I've been baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. The sealing of the Spirit now upon me. And we all know what that seal represents. It means sold. There's a sticker placed on you, sold. Nobody else can have it. It's been purchased by the blood of Christ. And you know you have been purchased by your response. Now, I'll raise a question, and I've already partly answered it, but I'll raise it again. Do you think you were worth it? Do you think you were worth it, brothers and sisters? Well, you know the answer to that, don't you? And that's why you glorify him. That's why you praise him. That's why you thank him. That's why we do what he asks and what he wants of us. Because we all know none of us were worth it. None of us were worth purchasing or buying. Yet here we are, filled with his Spirit. Here he is speaking into our hearts, into our spirits. And that's why we glorify him. He purchased us because he wanted to. He purchased us because it's in his heart to do so. You will never work that one out. None of us will. There are some of the mysteries that lie with God. But if you know you have, and you know you are, and you know you are his possession, then go all out and let him work that in and through each one of us. Why lay back? Why be fearful? Be afraid? If you are his purchased possession, then let him work by his Spirit in and each one of us. And this is why he calls us to surrender our ownership, to surrender ourselves up to him, because as we know, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 shows us, there's nothing more that you can surrender, and that is of yourself. So how much did it cost the Father then in this purchase? Well, it cost his Son, the shedding of blood, God dying in flesh. That's what it cost him. I'll raise another question. Did God get a good deal out of his purchase? Did he get a good deal out of his purchase? What he did? Are you a good deal? Are you worth the money and everything? Well, thank God we haven't got to answer that one in His mercy and grace. All I know is that I know, and I don't know anything else. And all I know is that we're here tonight because God never makes mistakes. And we'll never understand some of these things. But all we know is that He has saved us in His mercy and grace, in His love. And I am filled with His Spirit, and nothing is going to stop me from praising and thanking Him and worshiping Him. And that's all He wants. He wants a grateful heart. And when God has got a grateful heart out of us, He can do so much in and through each one of us. What really was the motive of His purchase? What was the motive? Why did He do it? Why did He bother? I mean, you know, because it's all about His glory. He's glorious, and He wants us to see His glory. His glory is endless. There's no beginning, no end. You know, we can look at the world, we can go for wonderful walks, or we can go on holiday, and we can see that the handiwork of God. We can look up in the sky and see the myriads of stars up there and everything. All of this is reflecting His glory. And yet it goes on from there. It's endless. There's no beginning, no end. He wants to share that. He wants you to appreciate that. He wants you to experience that. Because He knows by the way He's made us, that is so vital for us. Why is it so vital for us? Because we're made in His image. That's why. He has put His affections in your heart, my heart. He has put something of Himself in each one of us. That's why we relate to Him. That's why, as He opens our eyes, we understand. We need that glory. We need to experience His glory. Because it's in us. It's a part of us. We must not limit God to what He's about to do, brothers and sisters. And what He will do through each one of us. Do not limit Him anymore in any way. If God says it, He will do it. And you make yourself available. I always marvel at Isaiah. He heard the voice of the Lord. And he responded as a result. Yes, there was a calling there. There's a calling on our lives. But you respond to it. It's very easy just to say, oh, I won't do anything unless God calls me. Well, I'll tell you something, it's not rocket science to hear God calling tonight. It's whether we're saying, just like Isaiah, here I am, Lord, use me. That's what He wants. Or are we still too involved with the world? Are we still complacent? I want to live and act and look and walk like the world does. Or am I prepared for that separated, sanctified life to be set apart? See, that's still some of our problems, saints. The world is still strong at times, and we want it, and we try and combine the two together, and we find they're like fire and water, aren't they? They just don't mix. So, let us take comfort, brothers and sisters, in all of this, what we're hearing. And going back to Acts 20, I want us just to look at some other verses here, back into Acts 20, and Let's look at verses 29 through to 32. Acts 20, 29 to 32. 29 to 32. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, my brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Very interesting what the apostle has said here. And brothers and sisters, let it also be a warning to us in Full Gospel Assembly. Don't think that we are exempt from these things that we hear, we read about. Because these things happen. And sadly, they will happen. And the apostle clearly says, for 3 years, he warned night and day, even with tears and travail. And he says, I commend you to God, to the word, his grace. And he's able to build you up and give you that inheritance among those who are sanctified. But what does he say there? Because he says, and also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. He's meaning that there will be a lot of times of carnality. Things said unwisely. Or disputes, arguments, bickering, fightings. All these things that can try to divide, try to devour fellowship, the saints coming together. We, all of us, have to be on our guard. And we have to allow the Holy Spirit, as we make ourselves available, to build his body in each one of us. But we find there are times there are things that can manifest that's trying to destroy, trying to rip it apart. And the apostle clearly warns in this. We tend to think, oh well, you know, that's speaking of heretics or preachers and teachers that try to get into church and try to bring in those damnable heresies. Of course there are those, and it does go on sadly. But it's not just that. We need to be sensitive. Have what I said to my brother or my sister, has that edified them? Has that built them up in the faith? Have I ministered to them at that point? We need that sensitivity. That is part of our fellowship, our unity, our oneness. And you see, when we're willing to do this, when we hear these admonitions, and it all has our name and address on, these are all clear signs that it reveals that we have willingly allowed God to purchase this wonderful purchase that's through Christ Jesus. And it's for all of us. And it's a purchase for body, soul, and spirit, as we've read back in Corinthians 6, 19-20. This is why it's a complete and whole work that he's doing. And this is why we hold on to divine healing. We want to see healing. We want that healing, not because it alleviates or it makes life easier for me or whatever it would be. It's because Christ purchased me. He has brought me back. He's paid a price for me. I want him. I know this is worldly now in a sense, but I know you'll understand what I'm saying. But because he's purchased me, I like to think, yes, he's getting his money's worth in that sense. And the only way is I can surrender self up to him. He's getting that value. And of course he will, and he is. But you're understanding where I'm coming from, I'm sure, in what I'm saying here. Because this is about relationship, isn't it? And that's what the overcomers are having, is a relationship with God. The bride's making herself ready. This is him encouraging, wooing us to go on, to endure, to stay with it. You see, because he's purchased us. And we see that it is a whole and complete work of body, soul, and spirit. And he goes, and he places us in his presence for worship. He brings us before his presence to worship him, to lift holy hands in his presence, to lift our voices before him. And all of this comes out of a thankful and a grateful heart. Ministry comes out of a grateful, thankful heart. Laying on of hands for the sick, casting out of demons, comes out of a grateful, thankful heart. Because it's him doing it. You are recognizing, you're acting upon his purchase over my life. That's what this is all about. It's not about you or me or what we get out of it. And pride will do this. Pride wants that recognition. Pride likes to think, oh, I'm laying hands on the sick and they're recovering. Oh, I'm bringing souls into the body of Christ. And that's what he's been delivering us from, brothers and sisters. And he'll do it because we're his purchase. And so, here we are, filled with his spirit. Our bodies, us, filled with the Godhead. He dwells, tabernacles. He's fellowshipping with us. Brothers and sisters, this would have been unthinkable under the old covenant. My goodness, if I was around under the old covenant and talking like this, I'd have been taken straight out and stoned. I can tell you that. For blasphemy. Look how God has reversed, turned it round. Look at what he's done in now fellowshipping individually and corporately with each of us. And yet how we all take it for granted. Thank God that we don't have to bring rams, lambs and goats and pigeons for sacrifice. I tell you, the altar would be loaded with them week after week, wouldn't they? We don't have to do that, like they had to under the old covenant. So brothers and sisters, we display God's purchase. And we do it, obviously, by receiving Christ as our Saviour, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We display our purchase by allowing the Spirit to baptize us into his body to function. We display it through discipleship, forsaking all, putting our hands to the plow, going forward. We display it above all by taking up our cross daily and following him. That is my display to the world, that he has purchased me and purchased you. And why? Because our bodies are his temple. We glorify him with our whole being. And this is why we stand against sickness, oppression. We stand against spiritual blindness, poverties, confusions, these lies that go on, this lack of faith, love, unity of the Spirit and so on. We stand. We have to war sometimes against these forces that try to make our lives look a lie. As I say so often, they don't read their Bibles, but they're reading us. And that's why he's given us these spiritual weapons. We have the armor, because that comes against the forces that are trying to oppose these very things that I have just spoken about here, you see. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. We all know this one very well, but again, very applicable in what I'm saying here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That's what he's still working with all of us. There are times our separation is not as it should be. But never fear, if it's your heart's desire to do it God's way, he will do it. And we can have that absolute assurance, because he's God, and he never makes a mistake. But you know, because it cost Christ his all, that is the reason why. Because it cost him his all. And that's all we know. That's the reason why. And so because it cost him his all, he's going to work his all in and through us and through the body of Christ. And this is why, brothers and sisters, we're under a message that is perfecting us, preparing us, getting us clothed ready for marriage. We know this. It's not rocket science. We don't have to search the scriptures. Everything points to this. Everything is preparing our hearts. We all of us know how the enemy is there. He's pounding away, trying to work, trying to suggest, trying to sow his lies. All of this, you know, is a clear indication. It reminds and tells us of Revelation 12, the man-child in the womb of the woman. Where's the dragon? Where is he? Right there. That's our experience. That's what's happening. But he doesn't succeed, because it tells us he doesn't. At the right appointed time, our Heavenly Father snatches the child away. Caught away. Which gives an indication that it's taken Satan unawares. He knows it's going to happen, but he doesn't know exactly when it's going to happen, because God is sovereign. And so he's there, but he's already failed, because he doesn't know when it's going to be. He can only read some of the certain signs and various things, but he doesn't know when it's actually going to happen. But I can assure you, God's going to do it. So who's going to triumph? That's the question. Certainly not him. You have the victory. We have the victory. The man-child clearly tells us. Let it be a source of comfort to each of us. Satan's a liar, and we need to stop listening to him. And he'll listen to us, we'll listen to him when he's highlighting weaknesses in our life, We start to listen to him. Well, yes, I mean, that is true. That is true. Yes, it is still going on. Yeah, it is. And you're already starting to listen to him. You have the authority to tell him he is a liar. It might appear for a season that he's telling the truth, but he cannot tell the truth because in nature he's a liar. But we know we have been purchased by a great price, and God has purchased us through Jesus Christ. Therefore, whatever he might be saying or suggesting is a lie on that basis. And you can confidently say it is a lie, because in God's economy, in God's timing and everything, there's no time. We're already redeemed. We're already glorified. We're already with him. We're already overcomers. Everything's done, completed and finished. We're just sojourners. We're just going through in time. Time is made for man, not for God. So you can confidently say Satan's a liar. You can confidently say these things, even though you're still overcoming, still coming through. You can say that I have overcome. Therefore, Satan, you are a liar. You see, Satan, we're told, is the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses. He finds fault. He finds our weaknesses. And he accuses. They're accusations. That's all they are. And accusations brought in a court of law have to be questioned. And there has to be proof. There has to be evidence. A lot of people in court make accusations. But where is the evidence? I'll tell you where the evidence is. You have been purchased with a great price. That is the evidence. Now, do you choose to believe that? Heavenly Father, we all of us need to hear this tonight. None of us are too spiritual, are walking too close to you, or whatever it would be, to hear some of the basics, Father, to be brought back to the root, to the cross, to our salvation, what we are, what you purchased. We all need to hear it, Father, from time to time. And Father, we thank you for this great love message, a message, the greatest message the world can ever receive. And Lord, you've not made a mistake with any of us. Forgive us, Father, that we limit you. Forgive us, Father, that we make the excuses, that we raise all these doubts and whatever it would be. How it's disgraceful, Lord. It's awful, Father, when we think about it. Because it's just throwing back at you. You've got your purchase wrong. It's throwing back and just saying, look, I know somebody else is far worth it. Buy them, not me. No one would ever say that, Father, if we knew what we've been saved from, and that is hell. We are what we are in Christ Jesus. We are what you have made us and are making us. And therefore, Father, we hear your voice, and we say like Isaiah, here am I, use me. And you will, and you are. And Father, I thank you again tonight for our fellowship. I thank you for bringing us, all of us, in the room. I thank you for how you're using the internet, Father, how you use everything. It just shows, Lord, how you're not limited, and yet how we limit you. But Lord, we also know that when we physically come together to fellowship, that is such a blessing. We know that. But we thank you tonight, Lord, Thank you that we've come into this room and to hear your voice, and we desire with all our hearts to respond. And tonight, Lord, you would not have given this message to us if your grace was not sufficient, but we know that it is. Therefore, we move and walk by faith. So thank you again, Father. Thank you, Lord, for these dear saints. Father, ever preserve, bless, and keep them. Keep them, Father, from self, from the evil one, from the temptations, that prowling lion. Keep them, Father. Separate them in your truth, your word, that they walk that sanctified life. Ever continue to take their eyes away where they're being tricked, being averted, where obstacles are trying to take their eyes away from looking to Jesus. Let Jesus always, every day, be the focal point. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.